come back on this Friday. We get to go to Ireland this hour and talk to Father Paul Kramer, who was supposed to be on last week, but we moved him up a week. So five Fridays in the month? Anyway, whatever. It's a kind of a long month. Father Kramer, welcome back. Thank you for delaying for just a week. There's so much going on now. It's really crazy. Over here in the U.S., we have another dastardly act by the evil ones. They are dumping engineered, bioengineered ticks, apparently, all over much of the country in boxes, little boxes full of ticks on farmland primarily, and they're spreading. So we are under now not Ebola, not hantavirus, but we are under a tick invasion. What are the ticks carrying? What are they going to gift us with? I don't know yet. Which of a number of scenarios do you want to subscribe to, friends? You choose. Ticks can carry all kinds of things. Lyme disease is maybe just a piece of cake for ticks now, and they've got their hands on all kinds of much more. The mortality aspect of Lyme is certainly not huge, but it's a very bad thing to have. Many of you listening have it. All right, Father Kramer, hello, and how does it look from over there? Pretty crazy?
Yes, it's looking very, very bleak. I'm hoping that more people are waking up now. Like we have a parallel situation in the church as in the political situation in the United States, that, for example, after Clinton, after George W. Bush, after Obama, the powers that be created an image, and that was this populist president, Donald J. Trump, who was going to clean up the mess. And instead, we see that he, as I mentioned before, people in France were looking for an antidote to the revolution that had, with its reign of terror, that had slaughtered so many people. And what they got was Napoleon Bonaparte. And at one point he said, "I am the revolution." And with Donald Trump, all his talk about the deep state, he is the very face of the deep state. He could very well say, as did Napoleon Bonaparte about himself, he could say, "I am the deep state."
I agree.
And, yeah. But there are many people who just they cling to the image that they were sold, and they can't separate themselves from that. They can't accept reality. And that's the kind of situation we have in the church, where after Bergoglio, this man, Leo, appears on the scene. He looks like a pope. In his external behavior, he's more pontifical than the man before him. And so people were filled with hope that they were going to get a Catholic pope for a change. And instead, they have one who's accelerating the Bergoglian revolution. Even right. Faster than Bergoglio himself was going.
Sad and revolution. True. Yeah.
So we're headed for catastrophe now. It's not a question of if, the question of when, and it's going to be very soon. They're telling us that that the Iran's military capabilities have been destroyed, that they're militarily defeated. They just don't want to admit it. Whereas the reality is quite the opposite. The Iranians have a lot more missiles, and they have the capability of building more of their drones and missiles whereas the United States is using up its a large percentage of its supply of missiles. And these things cost billions of dollars, and they're not that easily replaceable. They can't be replaced so fast. And they're all being wasted on Iran. It's looking very bad.
It really
Iran
is.
Iran's winning the war right now.
Oh, yeah.
Iran is actually winning the war.
Yep. Oh, I agree. There's really no other way to look at it. Even by doing nothing, Iran has won and is winning. We'll see what Trump's orders are from Tel Aviv. We'll find out soon enough. He can't keep putting off Netanyahu's demands. I don't know what they are, but I would think with his past several months of ordering, along with Hegseth, enormous amounts of U.S. military equipment, support, munitions, personnel to the theater, the Iran theater, the Iranian theater in the Middle East over the last few months. I don't see how he can tuck tail and order them all back. I think he's going to have to use them. And I wouldn't put anything past him or his controllers to use American men and women to go in on the ground and take Karg Island, try to conquer the Strait of Hormuz and take that. It's not going to happen. Anybody on the ground, any ground invasion there, will be obliterated by Iranian missiles. They're ready. I don't know what his options are. I think that's why we haven't seen anything really transpire, is because his options are all lie. It's all lose. There's no pathway to a win. It's not going to happen.
The American bases in the Middle East have been badly damaged by the Iranian attacks.
Yeah.
And there's been a great deal more casualties, American casualties, than they want to admit.
I confirm that as well from everything I've read. Thousands of Americans dead. Many more thousands wounded. I agree. We've lost a lot of people. They'll never tell us. Our leaders will lie to us until the cows come home. That's what they do. Europe. Let me ask you about Europe. Europe seems to be compelled to try to provoke Putin and the Zionist Jewish oligarchs that run him and run Russia into some kind of a conflict with continental Europe. Europe can't win, because where we are now is with drones and drone tech, traditional military options are really off the table. You can't concentrate troop strength. You can't concentrate armor. You can't do it anymore, because it will be taken out by drones and drone systems. It's everything has changed about modern warfare. It's over. You can't fight a traditional textbook West Point war any longer. Any aircraft carrier task force can be taken out with just half a dozen missiles, hypersonics that have no defense. No defense for this. So I do think the Lincoln and the Ford were hit by drones at this point. We won't hear about it. The Ford is probably out of action for at least a year. It's back home being refitted and repaired and so forth. But the day of the forward power projection by the United States Navy with its aircraft carriers and strike support groups, those days are gone. Even a second-rate country can potentially take out American warships. So I just don't get it. The options are almost leading immediately to a jump to using nuclear weapons to be able to, quote, win a military conflict. You can't do it traditionally anymore, not like you used to. Not like you used to. That's just my humble observation.
Fortunately, it's like a chess player who's faced with an imminent checkmate who just does not want to admit it, and he wants to continue the struggle. The outcome is already guaranteed. You're going to lose, and you're going to lose big. So it's time to retreat, regroup, and to use what is considered in American politics a very nasty word, it's time for some isolationism, because a country that has isolated itself has no more viable option than to isolate itself in some isolationism rather than to madly pursue its own national suicide.
I agree. Yeah. No, isolationism is the only safe way forward. The whole idea of war has changed. It's gone now. The traditional Hollywood movie portrayal of war, tanks, men, equipment, planes, it doesn't work anymore. Yes, they're high tech, but no, they will not survive like they used to. It's gone. One hypersonic missile can theoretically take out a trillion, I don't know how much they cost, a Ford-class carrier, what's it cost? Close to $1 trillion? I don't know, I'll look it up. It could take out a carrier, all the aircraft, all the crew, and there are nuclear warheads on every aircraft carrier. They're under strict guard, but they're there. So, yeah. Submarines, gone. War cannot be fought the way it has always been fought. No more. There are great equalizers out there, primarily drones, drone missiles, UAPs, if you want, just for fun. It's crazy out there. I don't know what Europe is trying to do. What are they going to, how are they going to prosper and profit by provoking Jewish-controlled Russia into a war? How are they going to do that? I don't see it. What is Europe's future, Father Kramer? What do you see? How much more can Europe tolerate before it just shreds itself? It's gone.
Well, it's going to shred itself. That's the next thing that's going to take place. It is going to disintegrate, and the European Union is going to disintegrate, and the European economies are going to disintegrate. And it's going to be a chaotic mess of failed states in the not too distant future, in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just insane the way the European leaders, the presidents and prime ministers of the European Union member states, for example. Why they are so adamant about provoking Russia and supporting the Zelensky regime in its war, its what is really a proxy war that Zelensky is fighting as on behalf of the Western powers to attempt to eventually to dismember disintegrate Russia.
Yeah, and on the other hand, what's he doing? He's waging a holocaust against Christians. The 2 million dead in the Ukrainian military are largely Christian, male and female. They're gone. Dead. 2 million. A real holocaust. Zelensky is still alive. People miss that point. He would be one of the first things to be removed from the big game board in the beginning of this war, which is running over 4 years now. Why is he still alive? People never ask that question. He's still alive because he's Jewish and because Jews run Russia. And Putin was told, do not kill this man. We don't kill our own. There's no other possible explanation. He should be long gone. They let him alone. He's probably looted $4 or $5 billion or more. He's just a terrible human being, horrible, if he is human at all. Anyhow, this is not a good situation. It's only withering, and it's going to get worse. When the former Soviet Union fell apart in the early 1980s with Boris Yeltsin and so forth, the very shrewd, smart Jews in Israel quickly moved in to fill as much of the vacuum in Russia as they could. They took charge. They took control. They are largely running Russia right now as we speak. Very few people understand that. Just like this country is being controlled, run, and operated by who? Zionist Jewry. They're pulling the strings. And what do we do about that? There's nothing we can do. Try to survive. This is not good. There's nothing good out there. Nothing.
As if what's going to solve all the problems is to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. This is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And getting
in order to, stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, they're going to they're setting into motion a process, a chain reaction of events that will lead to the United States being defeated in a disastrous, catastrophically devastating war that's going to destroy the United States. Not annihilate it, but destroy it.
It's going to take some hits. I don't understand why more people don't get it. What difference does it make if Iran has a nuclear weapon? It may already have half a dozen. We don't know. They can't use them. So what good are they? If they use them, they're going to be annihilated. I mean, literally blown off the face of the earth. By the Jews, by the Americans, the Jewish army by extension, the Jewish military. No, the Iranians cannot use. That's why I believe they don't really want a nuke. There's no way they can use it. It's not going to level the playing field. They can't use it. So we'll see. And if you remember the story, it's been about 2 weeks now, where Donald Trump, apparently at a meeting of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, demanded he be given the nuclear codes. He was going to, right then and there, order a nuclear strike on Iran. General Dan Kane, the chairman of the JCS, stood up, apparently, unless he was already standing, and he said, no. We'll assume he said, no, Mr. President, but I don't know, I wasn't there. But he refused. This is celebrated now in the media. They did get the story right, but they don't know what that means yet.
Unfortunately, Trump seems to be living his mind as inhabiting a delusional little world. And he seems to believe his own lies, that he's winning this war with Iran.
Oh, he thinks he's already won it, Father Kramer. He thinks he's already won. He's such an idiot.
And what is especially concerning is the fact that there's the Republicans in the Congress are really doing nothing.
No.
They're propping up this puppet.
You know what they're doing in the Congress? They're looking the other way at the outrageous, horrific disgrace of the removal of Representative Thomas Massie from the Congress for simply opposing Trump and his Iran war, his Zionist Iran war, and several other things, including the Epstein documents demanding that they be fully released. So Trump forced the hand of everybody by forming a political action committee which has as its sole purpose the removal of one congressman, just so happens that it was the last good congressman we have in the House of Representatives, and they got rid of him. Disgraceful. Shameful. And no one's talking about it. It's not even in the news anymore here.
It is absolutely insane because any reasonable person can see where this is leading, and it's leading to the destruction of the United States as a significant power in the world. It's going to lead to the disintegration of the American economy. The United States is going to become a failed state, and it will become a failed state.
Oh, you know what may prevent that? If it is successful, and I'm talking about this massive explosion of data centers being built all over the country, about 5,600 of them already, and built with no permits. They don't go through normal public processes of getting public input, holding town hall meetings. They just build them. Nobody knows who the builders are. Nobody knows easily who the owners are. They're being built from coast to coast. There are 5,800 now. I'm looking at over 10,000, 12,000 perhaps when this is done. And it will be done very soon. There's something going on there that is enormous. I don't know what it is exactly, but it has to do with controlling the world. This is how the Jews are going to extend their control to a planetary and global footprint, I think, through these data surveillance centers, which are far more than just housing AI conveniences for the sheep. It's not happening. Believe it. That's the only thing that I can see preventing America from becoming, as you rightly say, a failed state.
They want to have a failed state under controlled circumstances, because they want to use that as a mechanism for rapid social change, which will see that the American people will lose their employment, their jobs. Social safety net that was there in place will be removed. You're going to have a multitude of homeless people. And meanwhile, they criminalize homelessness. So then when people become homeless, they lose their jobs. They can't pay the property tax. They can't pay utilities. They can't pay their rent. Their houses get foreclosed or they get evicted from their rented accommodations.
Correct.
Then what's the next thing they would do? They'll try to pitch a tent somewhere. But now when the states are criminalizing homelessness, they will all be rounded up and sent to the gulag, to the concentration camps, where they will have employment there, but it will be unpaid employment. They're going to be slaves. The ones that are allowed to live will be slaves. Not all will be allowed to live.
And most people will line right up. The queues will be endless. They'll line up to serve. They don't want to die. All right? Given the option, they're going to serve the dark side. So it's no problem. This is easily conquerable, our species. No problem. It's the way I see it anyway.
And the antidote has always been spiritual. And what we have in Rome now is the New World Order pseudo-pope. People were looking for a Catholic pope who would be a true head of the church, as were popes of previous centuries, like Pope Pius the 12th, Pope Pius the 11th, Pope Pius the 10th, in the last century. And they, after Bergoglio, they saw this man who looked pontifical. They looked more papal than that that phony pope that came before him, Bergoglio, Francis. But Francis started this revolution called synodalism. He said, and these were his own words, there will be a different church. And the synodal church, people have to understand what that is. The Catholic Church is a monarchical church. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus Christ, "Are you a king?" And Jesus Christ answered, "Yes, he is a king. This is my kingdom is not of this world." But is that's to say, his kingdom does not originate from this world, but his kingdom exists in this world. It's built up in this world. And that is his church.
Yeah.
That is his church. And that's the apparatus of his kingdom. And now we see that apparatus, that infrastructure has been infiltrated and taken over. The church itself, the sacred offices are these heretics are incapable of validly holding these offices. So in that sense, they can never take over the church. They can only create a parallel church. And since they want to get rid of the papacy as it existed for two millennia, which is to say a monarchical institution where you have the Pope is the supreme head of the church, and in hierarchical subordination, all jurisdiction of the bishops is subordinate to that of the Pope. But if you want to get rid of that model of church and make the bishops have the power, mm-hmm. you create a synodal church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the synodal church going to be like? Well, we can see there are synodal churches in the world. The prime example, which I think was the blueprint for the so-called reformists in Rome were using as a model to build upon, was that of the Church of England, the Anglican Communion. And look what synodalism has done to them ever since they separated from Rome and separated from the authority of the papacy. In England, you had the Catholic Church. You had a church professing the creed, the articles of faith, the moral code, and then they went into synodalism, and that eroded the very, not just the fabric, but the very essence of Christianity as such was eroded away, and you have nothing but an empty shell. The dictum of Lenin has been perfectly fulfilled in the Anglican Communion. What Lenin said was, keep the shell, destroy the substance. And that is what Freemasonry is doing to the Catholic Church, at least to the infrastructure of the Catholic Church, because the true church is still there and it's going underground. But now we see a confrontation is brewing. In the meantime, the synodal church, because the true authority of the Pope, which is that of a monarch, has been undermined with synodalism, that it has to be exercised in a more democratic manner, a shared responsibility, a shared authority of the so-called Pope with the bishops, the national hierarchy. And what that leads to is you no longer have a church where you have the supreme power invested in the successor of Peter, the St. Peter the Apostle, St. Peter, the first head of the church. And he is, that was the foundation of the church. The apostolic foundation was not just the apostles, but in the prince of apostles, which was Peter, and that was the safeguard for the unity of faith and the unity of governance of the whole church. And if that foundation is removed, you will have a church that will be it is a self-disintegrating entity if you remove that foundation.
Okay.
And
nothing can exist without a solid foundation. And you're right. It's not going to happen. Church is going suffer grave damage, implosion-type damage here in the next, years, 2-3 years.
Well, we saw that happen. We saw this happen with the Anglican Communion. From what was a Catholic church, we come up to today to what is basically a facade, an empty facade. But every vestige of Christian doctrine and Christian morality is removed. You have this archbishopess of Canterbury presiding as a presiding minister of an organization that professes no definitive creed and no definitive moral code. There's nothing left, and this is the kind of church that is being promoted by this man, Prevost, who calls himself Leo the 14th. Too many Catholics thought that he looked like a pope. He talks something like a pope. Seemingly such a vast improvement over Francis before him, that people cling to the idea that they have a true pope now, who's going to rectify all the wrong that's been done before. Just like the American people thought that Trump was the antidote to all the rot that came into the government.
The masses in both cases remain tragically incompetent. I don't know how else to phrase it. That's one way. They just don't get it. Or they don't want to get it. You choose. I don't know, friends, but it's right. It's true.
Well,
we will not stand up and reject satanic evil. Zionist satanic evil. We will not stand up and reject it. And we have a Zionist Jewish tool, at least, in the White House. He may well be Jewish on an official basis. Who goes to pray at Rabbi Schneerson's tomb the day before the damned election? Trump taken there by little Ben Shapiro. Come on, friends. If you can't see it, you don't want to see it.
Yes, and I saw the video of Tulsi Gabbard talking about how the founding fathers called for a day of fasting. That's all well and good, but how does this translate to reality? What is Trump actually doing? He's calling upon Americans, and not Jews. He's talking about non-Jewish Americans to participate themselves in the observance of the Jewish Sabbath, which is to say,
I mean, it's
the Saturday observance of the Jewish Sabbath.
Yeah,
the man is a Judaizer. He's a Judaizer.
Well said. That's true.
This is not going to help matters.
No, he's slapping the American people right in the face. He's punching them in the mouth with this stuff, and I don't know where the outrage is. Should be outraged no matter the political party, the persuasion. This is disgusting. And I don't care if he was pushing Hinduism. It doesn't matter. It's the idea that he is not pushing the American Constitution, and only the American Constitution. He is a traitor. This is treason.
Exactly. And there's a parallel situation in the church. The man in charge in Rome, if I can borrow the expression from the late Bishop Williamson, who spoke about a different prelate, but his words are eminently applicable to this man, Prevost. I remember when Bishop Williamson was talking about a certain bishop, and he said, he is a rat. And those words apply, I think, very fittingly to this man, Prevost. He is a rat. What he's done...
You know, he looks like a rat, come to think of it. And I think his behavior is appropriately so defined. I agree.
He is following that synodal model,
yeah,
which is basically to demolish the Catholic Church. Synodalism is the instrument of demolition to demolish the Catholic Church and right. replace it with a different church. And Bergoglio himself said that his church is going to be a different church. So he came in to, as it were, reform the church, but to do a complete makeover of the church so that it will be overhauling it and turning it into a different church. And those were Bergoglio's own words. His synodal church will be a different church. And a synodal church is a different church because it is opposed in its very essence to Catholicism. It cannot be the Catholic Church. Synodalism is the foundational principle, the principle according to which the church is to operate in the synodal church. So it is not the exercise of the total fullness of supreme power, which is the authority that Jesus Christ bestowed upon the apostle Peter and made him the chief over all the apostles.
Right.
Now we have the synodal model, this democratic synodal, aristocratic synodal model, where it won't be the authority given by God to the Pope that will rule, but it will be the opinions coming from below. It will be a church ruled by mere human fallible opinions, democratically determining what will be the teaching and discipline of the church. This is a recipe for the total demolition of the Catholic Church, and that's what Prevost is presiding over, the demolition of the church. He doesn't act like a pope. He doesn't issue decrees. Like, he won't issue a decree on his own, creating female bishops like the Church of England, like the Archbishopess of Canterbury. He's not going to do that. He's not going to proclaim a counter. A counter magisterium with a new anti morality and a new doctrine that is opposed to faith. He's not going to do that. What happens is the synodal process, but he is stacking the deck he is appointing bishops who are in favor of homosexuality, to normalize it, to make it, to recognize it as an acceptable way of life, and that these sodomites are not to be considered members in good standing in the church, and not in any way to be ostracized, and he's promoting bishops who are in favor of female priests and female bishops. So you have a synodal process that is, in its very design, is there to demolish and disintegrate, to destroy the faith and the morals, the moral law, the law of God, and the divine revelation are the things that are to be demolished. Those are the things to be demolished.
Right. He's, I think your most succinct and incendiary line was that he doesn't act like a pope. You're right. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the presence to project power, influence, leadership, intelligence. He's like a low-level bureaucrat wearing all the costumes that come along with the office. I just am not impressed at all.
But this Vatican that's riddled with Freemasons, determine who are going to be the bishops, who are going to be the bishops appointed to the diocese, so they can all the new bishops will implement the Masonic revolution in the church. And through the synodal process, they submit to Rome their recommendations, and in the synodal church, the synodalist pope has to rubber stamp. The supreme authority in the church, of course, are the synods, the bishops' conferences, the national hierarchies. And when the decisions have been reached out in the peripheries and submitted, and the recommendations are submitted to Rome, according to the principles of synodalism, the so-called pope simply rubber stamps the reforms that they are going to recommend. And the reforms that they recommend are the demolition of Catholicism and the annihilation of Christianity as such. And that's what you have seen. That's what we have seen in the Anglican Communion. They have completely gutted. They have gutted it of faith and morals have been completely demolished in the Church of England. They have followed the dictum of Lenin perfectly, which is to say, keep the shell, destroy the substance. And now we have the parallel revolution taking place in Rome. But what Leo the 14th Prevost is doing is he's creating a parallel church, a new church, a different church that can stand together in unity with the Anglican Communion and profess a nebulous creed that believes in nothing, and profess a moral code that observes nothing. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get the New World Order Church, which is the only vestige of you're going to have a complete travesty, a deformity of any kind of morality, because it's going to be a different kind of a code of ethics, which is going to be that of the United Nations agenda. That's the new morality, the sexual diversity, the population control, that sort of thing. The communism that is being implemented under the auspices of the United Nations, the communism that is the creation of the financial elite of the world, which is to transform the world into a pyramid with the those at the very top are the financial elite, and those at the bottom are to be the slaves, those slaves who are allowed to live, and the population is largely to be annihilated because they are simply dismissed as useless eaters. But these are unpalatable words. So in the Vatican, they dress up this brutal revolution with words that sound humanitarian. But anyone with two functioning brain cells now can see what the deception that's being taken place. Mm-hmm. And this was foretold by Pope St. Pius X, that they're going to make this one world church, and it's going to be an oppressive, institution, because it's part of the New World Order, which is intended to be an oppressive institution. It is something diabolical, and the devil is an oppressor. He's not benevolent. But now, they're creating a parallel church. They cannot destroy the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not made of mortal stuff. It is not of this world. That's what Jesus Christ our Lord said. My kingdom is not of this world. His church is not of this world.
So what's the future? And, Father Kramer, what will be the next issue? Two Catholic churches? A real one? And then fraud? Something
that's
else?
That's right. Exactly that. That's exactly what's happening.
We talked about this a long time ago, that would be one of the obvious options. And yet that needs to be organized, and it needs to be launched as soon as possible. And I hope there are people out there who have the strength of character and commitment to do it, because this cannot be allowed to stand.
There was a recent interview. John Henry Weston was interviewing a priest by the name of Father Charles Murr. And Father Murr mentioned that A large number of bishops are beginning to speak out now. He mentioned that they used to be trained to remain silent, not to criticize their superiors, and so they would remain silent so as not to create scandal. But now that the provost is showing his true colors, that bishops are starting to get some backbone. The bishops are starting to get some backbone.
I hope so.
And now Leo the 14th is feeling the pressure from both sides now, not just the synodalists who want to create basically a communist institution.
Well, they're Bolshevik commissars is what they are. It's awful. Unless the bishops stand up and do something, even if it's to split the church in half, they're going to lose 2,000 years of history to a very substantial degree.
That is what they're going to do. They are going to split the church. And this is something that was interestingly foretold by Joseph Ratzinger in a 1969 interview, how he said the church will become small.
Uh-huh.
And he also used this one point of doctrine that he takes from this ancient Marcionist theologian by the name of Tychonius. Pope Benedict wrote an article on Tychonius showing how this revolution in the church would play out. The infiltrators, those who would destroy the church from within, eventually are, by the very nature of things, by the very nature of the organism, they are like a cancer. They're an alien growth inside is expelled. The church has an immune system that it expels this alien growth inside. And they will expel themselves when they come out and reveal what they really are. They accomplish their own expulsion. They accomplish their own expulsion from communion in the church when they sever themselves from the unity of faith, that bonds of unity, that bonds of communion, which make them, if they violate and rupture that bond of communion, which is the unity of faith, then they publicly proclaim themselves to separate from the Catholic Church. Right. That is the very nature of the beast, which is setting itself up as the hierarchy of the counterfeit church.
Well, well said. We have to say goodnight. I would hope that perhaps you and maybe a couple of others, bishops perhaps, would stand up and formally proclaim this schism in the church is now permanent, and lay it out. The true Catholics should go one direction, and those who believe in synodalism should go the other direction. Something has to happen here. Thank you, Father Kramer, very much. Again, we'll talk soon. Get some rest, and be careful out there. It's wild. Okay. Father Paul Kramer, that's it for Friday. A lot of information for you to think about if you are a subscriber, and I hope most of you are. Enjoy. Go back and reread, re-listen, reconsider these programs. They're very important. Pivotal information from lots of really great people. All right, have a good weekend. Remember, grocery prices are going to nail us all, even worse this fall, so you might want to invest in some food from Numana.com. Don't forget to get your Allison C. Keep it in the medicine cabinet. Back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend and take care.